of you would like to be able to say that towards the end of your life, that I fought the good fight. I kept the faith. Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? So this is what Jesus is looking for. So how do we keep the faith? What does that look like? And what does it mean to have biblical faith? Man, I keep cutting in and out here. Bear with me. I'll speak loud enough if I cut. But the other night, Barb and I were watching this old Star Trek episode. That's one of the cool things on Netflix is you can watch these episodes that are, you know, 20, 30 years old, what have you. And usually my habit is I fall asleep before the show ends. Well, on this particular evening, they were talking about faith. And I thought, well, that's cool. I'm preaching on faith this week. Let me see what I can learn from Star Trek. So in this particular episode, Lieutenant Worf, he's up there. He's the Klingon guy. And he's with Data. And Worf is struggling with his Klingon faith. He's having these doubts, and he's wondering, how do I move forward? Well, Data, who's an android, this guy's a computer, but he looks like a human. He tries to encourage him, and he tells him this story about when he was first activated, he was told that you're a machine. And basically, you're going to be a machine as long as you're in existence. But Data had this belief that he could become more than a collection of circuits and subprocessors and what have you, and he called this a leap of faith. And so Worf is really impressed by this, and it kind of restores his own faith, and he reconciles his struggles. And the show ends, and it's kind of like this really nice ending, and you feel good that, you know, they had this moment, what have you. And it was interesting because I looked at that and I thought, I think that's how most Americans think of faith. But is it biblical? Now, it's a good story, but it's something much different than what the Bible says when Jesus says he's going to be looking for faith. I'm not real sure. I'm real sure that he's not looking for what they're talking about there. Let me break this down. And I like Star Trek, okay? Don't get upset with me. But think about the faith that they're professing there. Is it grounded in any kind of truth? Is it grounded in any kind of reality? As I'm looking at it, I was going to say, no, not really. And then you have to ask, what was the object of their faith? Well, for Data, it was very clear. The object of his faith was himself. It was, and there is a place to believe in yourself and believe who God says you are and all these things. But his belief was in himself. So what was going to take place in his life was dependent upon him. And that's not what the Bible's calling faith. And you and I, we put our trust in all kinds of things. We put our trust in other people. We put our trust in ourselves and things. We wake up and we make decisions. And we have faith that we have the ability to make the right decisions. And so this dependence that we have sometimes on other people is part of what it means to be human. And what you're doing is you're expressing hope. Right? This is where I place my hope. I'm hoping that you're going to do what you said you were going to do. I'm hoping that this turns out well. I'm hoping that this group or this thing is going to be faithful. Now, here's a problem. Maybe you've experienced this. Most people, at some point in time, most things, at some point in time, are going to let you down. I was going to ask if anybody else experienced that. That's like the first amen I've gotten in 4 years. So we're like in agreement that people will let us down. You know, we've all experienced that. Now, Now, some of that, you know, you're okay, well, didn't let me down, the fries were a little cold, or what, you know, whatever it is. But depending upon the relationship, that could be incredibly hurtful. You know, if it's a close relationship, and depending on what they let you down on, I mean, our trust can be broken. And that could lead to despair, that can lead to anxiety, dissatisfaction, all of these things. Now, when people are faithful, or something turns out the way we want, that's normally when we feel peace, right? We're at peace. Man, this is awesome. This thing happened. I'm satisfied with that. I'm optimistic about the future. I've got hope because somebody or something was faithful. And in a world that's going to constantly let you down, we have a place where we can go. Or let me just say, we have someone we can go to that is always faithful. And that's God. That's God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He is the object of our faith. He's the one that we can trust in. And so this is the final characteristic in our series, the real God. We want to look at the faithfulness of God. Because if we're going to hope in something, you want to hope in something that is faithful, right? You guys sat on these chairs, and you know that these chairs are faithful. They will hold me up, right? Some of you are wondering right now if they're going to. But they have been faithful, and so therefore you trust in them. So let's start out with the truth about God. God being faithful means that He is always trustworthy. He is always trustworthy. You can bet on Him every single time. Now, sometimes it's a little scary. How many of you ever been, you felt like God was calling you to do something, and you look at it, it's biblical, and you go a step forward, and you're like, this seems scary. This seems really crazy. But we can know that God is trustworthy. What if we left here today and we decided, okay, I'm going to live out each moment, each day, trusting that God is trustworthy. I'm going to believe that. That's faith, right? I'm going to believe that what God says about Himself, what He says about the future, I'm just going to believe that's true. And what if we begin to face challenges knowing that we're not alone? Think about the Bible, these difficult things people went through. And where was God? God was right there. People were thrown in a fiery furnace. Where was God? Right there in the fiery furnace. What if we began to look at opportunities, positive and negative, and we began to think, okay, God is faithful, and God's going to walk me through this. These are opportunities that God has opened up. Would that change anything for anybody? If you got about three of you, that's awesome. And sometimes I think it's difficult for people, it's difficult for myself to recognize, okay, God is faithful 100% of the time. You know why? Because we have life experiences. We have life experiences of people and things that have let us down. But we need to remember, God is faithful. God is faithful all of the time. Psalm 105:8 says this, He remembers His covenant forever. Listen to that. He remembers His covenant forever. The promises He made for 1,000 generations. Man, how long is God going to be faithful for?
Forever.
Forever. That's a long time. And there's many times where God would make a covenant with people. And think of a covenant as like a contract. But it's not some ordinary contract. It is a contract that God has made with people. And you could take that covenant, you could take that promise to the bank every time. And the reality is, every relationship you and I have, there's some element of trust, right? We have that. And when trust is constantly broken, It's not a great relationship, right? That doesn't work out really well. Think of a bank. I mean, would you put your money in a bank where it's 50-50? Sometimes you can get your money, sometimes you can't, sometimes they lose your money. You're like, no, I'm not going to do that. But God, 100% of the time, is faithful. And we have an unshakable hope because of God's faithfulness. Hebrews 10:23 says it this way. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And God loves us. He loves us deeply, and he gives you a choice. You have a choice today. Now, how many of you got something in your life where you're like, man, this is a struggle. This is something I got to deal with this week. Anybody like that? Okay. But here's the thing. God gives you a choice today. Where are you going to put your hope? I can hope in the faithfulness of God, or I can hope in other people, myself, the outcome that I want, or I can hope that God is faithful, and God will deliver His promises. And all of you exercised hope today, right? So you showed up to church. You exercise hope. Now, some of you, maybe your parents or a spouse dragged you here, but you exercise hope. You thought, well, if I show up today, I hope that I can avoid conflict, right? You are exercising hope or faith. Now, some of you came because you believe that I need to connect with God today. I need to connect with other people. I need to hear from God in a way that is meaningful to my life and significant. And that's my hope that the majority of you came for that point. But if you came to avoid conflict, we welcome you as well. But the point is we get to choose where we put our hope. It could be in an outcome. It could be whatever. But the Bible is clear. Put your hope in God. That is a place that you can bank on. And I want you to think about the characteristic that we talked about. Because sometimes we think of things like, okay, this week we're going to talk about faithfulness. This week we're going to talk about love. And we need to understand that God is all of those things all the time. It's not like one week, you know, God says, okay, well, I'm going to express my love this week. And next week I'm going to express my justice. And next week I'm going to do that. The real God is all of these things. Here's what we looked at. He's good.
All the time.
I knew that was coming. All the time? All right. So he's good, and he wants the best for us. He's sovereign. That means he rules without equal. There is nobody like our God. He is holy. He's holy. That means he is unique from everything and everyone. He is wise. In other words, he makes the best decisions. You need to make a decision this week? Let's go here. Say, okay, God, what does your word say about this decision that I'm going to make? He's just. God's going to make everything right. Read Revelation 20 and 21. Everything before that's going to worry you a whole bunch, and you're like, I don't know about these seals and whatever, and this crazy stuff going on, but this right here, I get that. God makes everything right. And he is love. He values us unconditionally. Now you think about that. You put all that together and you say, this one is worthy. This is worthy of putting my trust in. This is worthy of me laying down my life. Because here's where the answers are. And again, it's not about me making it happen. A lot of times we look at faith that way and it becomes about me. And the reality is when I place faith in Christ, I'm placing faith in somebody that does for me what I can't do for myself. You know, and here's the reality. Let's just talk about the biggest thing. Eternal life. Reconciliation with God. Could we earn that? Go through the Old Testament and you look through. God's faithful to his covenant. But what did his people do? They break it. They break the covenant. And God does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Here's the first thing. We can trust his salvation through faith. Through faith in Christ. That he can reconcile us. 2,000 years ago, God sent his only son. Sent his son to make all things right and new, bring salvation to the world. Jesus Christ, fully God, fully human, the Messiah. He loved us. He lived a perfect life. He took our punishment. Our sin. Death, sin, the devil, threw everything at him. And he took it. And he died on the cross for our sins. But he didn't stay dead, right? We're going to celebrate that big time in a couple weeks. That he did not stay in the grave. He rose victoriously. And that's the reason why you and I can rise victoriously. But whatever struggle you're dealing with today, because I'm guessing most of us came in here with something, we can have victory of that because Christ has given us victory. He died on the cross for our sins and for our salvation. And this is a free gift. It is a free gift. It is not something I earned. You know, Jesus wasn't on the cross going, "Great job, Don. That's I'm here because you've done so well." He's up there because we're broken. And he does for us what we can't do for ourselves. Some of our problems are bigger than us. And we can't solve, we can't solve them on our own. Ephesians 2:8-9 says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And it is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast." It's not about us. It's not faith in me, it's not faith in my good works, it's not faith in my ability to get this done. I've been saved by grace through faith. I've put my trust in the one who did for me what I cannot do for myself. And by the way, this isn't just a one-time thing. This is something that I did in the past. I don't know about you, but I need his grace every day. I need day by day, Lord, give me strength this day because I'm going to face new problems today. And a lot of these problems, if you don't show up, I'm in big trouble. I need you today, and I have faith that you will be there with me. I have faith when struggles come, not if they come. When temptations come, not if they come, when they come. I'm going to put my faith in you. Not me, but in you. I'm going to surrender to you. Now, how many of you have noticed that from time to time, even though you're a person of faith, you might mess up? Okay? All right? I got a couple fingers pointing. Okay. So how do we continue in this faith? Well, two, we can trust his forgiveness through confession. This is kind of like a breathe in, a breathe out. And if you're in a relationship, from time to time, you're going to have conflict.
Okay, I got
more nods on that one. All right, we're going to have conflict. And you know what's easy to do? Run away, point the finger, blame. I mean, that's all the way back to the garden, right? God, the woman you gave me. Right? Yeah. Well, I mean, that's where Adam was wrong. You know, he pointed to the snake. Snake didn't have any fingers. So right there. Yeah. But we get there. And I mean, how many of you have done? I've done this. If people would quit bothering me, I could be such a loving person. You know, I could really, really do this. But here's the reality. People are going to bug you. There's going to be conflict. And guess who God's going to want to talk to? God usually doesn't come up to me and say, Wow, the way Jared treated you, man, that's just terrible. That's not the norm for me. The norm is if God comes to me and says, what do you think about that conversation you had with Jared? Although we didn't have a problem though, so don't worry. But you know what happens is we mess up. We make mistakes. A biblical word is sin. And that means missing the mark. Trying to go for that bullseye and you miss it. Sometimes we don't even go for the bullseye. We go for that person, right? and we miss the mark of what God wants for us. And this sin, it creates tension in relationships. Sin creates tension in the relationship with God. It's not that He quits loving us. He's still pouring out that love. That forgiveness is right there. His desire is for us to walk in that relationship. But He gives us another gift that's for us. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. How many of you want to live that? I mean, that's how I want to live. I want to live where I know this is good. I know from my part, the best I can do, that this is good. That I've been purified from all unrighteousness. I have a clear conscience before God. I have a clear conscience with other people. It helps you sleep at night, by the way, also. We'll just go off the rails here a little bit. But I was listening to this guy this last week, and he was an English man, and he called up this other guy because he wasn't sleeping at night. And he said, I want to send you, I think it was like 100 pounds, because I stole from you, and I can't sleep at night. And he says, if I still struggle, I'm going to send the other 100 pounds that I owe you. But that's not quite repentance, right? It's close. And we need to remember, Jesus paid for that sin. That thing that you did wrong, it's already been paid for. It's not that we have to go to God and say, God, will you pay for this sin? He already did. And think about the wrong that has happened to you. God has paid for that sin as well. Now, that other person may not walk in that. They may not receive that forgiveness, but it's been paid for. And I think this is something you and I need to practice. I need to practice this confession. Because you know what happens when I don't confess my sin? It's not that God quits loving me. It's not like, I don't think He crosses it out my name out of the book of life or anything like that. Like, until He takes care of that, He's out. But you know what happens in my life? I quit growing spiritually. I stay stuck because there's an issue between me and God. And if there's an issue between God and I can't be honest with God, how honest am I going to be with you? What's the chances of us having a great relationship? And so what I need to do is, I need to go to God. And I need to talk to Him. You know, and it's not one of those things where you're like, hey God, I was really sharp with my words here, or this action, or what I did over here. It's not like God's like, know that. You know, it's one of those things where basically confession is coming into agreement with God. Hey God, I really missed the mark on that one. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that you love me in spite of me. You love me in spite of my actions. And Lord, I receive your forgiveness. And when we receive that, we're able to forgive others. We're able to walk and reconciliation. This is a good habit. In fact, I'd recommend this. If you don't have this habit, try this week. Before you go to bed, spend some time thinking through. You know, and some of it you don't even have to think through. You know what you messed up with that day. But just before you go to bed, and say, you know, hey God, here's an area that I missed. Now I just want to give that to you. I don't want to miss that tomorrow. So I trust that you're going to work in my life and I'm going to walk in your forgiveness. Number three, we can trust in his purpose through obedience. And here's it. This is not about works, by the way. Let me make sure we understand this as we walk through this. Philippians 1:6 and 2:12 and 13. The Bible says this: He, meaning Jesus, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. All right, let's think this through. I'm not all that I've been created to be. God has a plan for me, and he's going to bring it to completion. I'm looking forward to see what God's going to do in me. I'm looking forward to see what God is going to do with you. And it says he will be faithful to carry it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. All right, so what do I do in the meantime? Do I just kind of sit around and say, okay, God, I know you're going to bring it to completion one day, so you know, I'm just kind of hang out for a while now. No, wrong answer. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Okay. He doesn't say work for your salvation. He says work out. It's kind of a gardening term. In other words, he says cultivate. Cultivate what God has put in you. If you called upon Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he has given you salvation. And he says, I want you to cultivate that. Work out what he has put in you. It says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. How many of you want to fulfill God's good purpose in your life? What's an act of faith? It's an act of faith. Obeying, walking in what God has to say is this act of faith. This is how we carry out the purpose that he has for us. God's working. How many of you know that? God is working from the inside out. Now sometimes we change outside behavior. And people in relationships do that. Well, if I change on the outside, then this relationship's going to be okay. Maybe. Eventually, what's on the inside of me comes on the outside. Right? If I'm holding hostility, I'm holding anger, eventually, might not be today, give time, it is going to come out. And so God changes us from the inside, and he works that out. God, did you know that when you profess faith in Christ, he gave you a new heart? You have a new heart. There is something within you that says, I want to follow Jesus. I want to be more like Christ. And that's a faith thing, to believe what God has put in us. We're saved by faith. There's nothing we can do. We can't add to that. But once we say yes to Christ, we have a responsibility. We have this commitment of obedience. And by the way, this isn't about me believing in myself. This isn't about me believing that when Jesus comes, I will bring myself to completion. That's not what it says, right? It says that he will do it. And so when I obey, what I'm saying is I trust you. I trust you. This sounds like a hard step. This is a difficult thing. I think I told some of you before, we were at a baseball game one night, and my older kids were younger, and you've probably been there, but the referee or the umpire made the worst call ever. And I let him know that he made the worst call ever. And I was walking back. You know, and I let him know about like this far away. And I was walking back to the dugout, and I'm like, you just got in the face of a 17-year-old kid. You're a pastor. So So the next night, there were ball games the next night, and I felt like God was telling me, I need to go make things right with this guy. And it's kind of weird to walk up to a 17-year-old kid and seek their forgiveness, but it's obedience. It's a step of faith, believing that, okay, God, this is what you want me to do, I'm going to do. And so I went up there, and he saw me come in, is looking at me, and I'm like, I'm not here to beat you up. And it was the weirdest thing, because I told him, you're not the worst umpire I've ever seen. No, I didn't say that. Yeah, there's two others. I said, you know what? I got in your face the other night, and that's uncalled for. And I just want to let you know that I was wrong and want to seek your forgiveness. And he just kind of stared at me, and I thought, nobody has ever done this before. This guy doesn't know what's going on. But you know what that does? It allows us to sleep better at night. It's us exercising faith. It's us saying, okay, God, this seems weird in our culture, but by faith, I'm going to be obedient to you. I'm going to be more like your son, and when I mess up, I'm going to repent. I'm going to do something different. And God's transformation, it's about being changed from the inside out. It's God working in our life. That the passage says that He is working us to will and to act. So when you get that, how many of you when you mess up, you get that little voice that says, you should go make that right. You should make a different choice this next time. Well, when I respond, that's faith. That's faith. That's not me earning anything. That's not like, you know, God says, okay, you went and you talked to that umpire, man, that's a point for you. No, it's just me saying, I'm going to live according to your purposes. Let's have the worship team come on up. Let me give you something else to do this week as we're closing here. I'm going to suggest that you have a simple prayer this week. And this is just an act of faith. Where we get up and we say, yeah, you guys are good. I'll call you up in a bit. Where we get up in the morning and we say, God, what do you want me to do today? What is it? I mean, I know what I think I need to do, and I know the task, but what is it that you want me to do today? Where's an area of my life that you want me to obey? We just say, Lord, help me to live and live a life more like you today than I did yesterday. So here's my question, and we'll go to communion here, and I'll give them some room up here. Maybe you even want to ponder those things as we head to communion.